Hi, my name's Andrew Lotto. Welcome to the first episode of my first ever podcast, Sadistically Speaking. Let me explain a little bit about myself and why I decided to do this podcast. I've always had a contrarian attitude, which is a pleasant way of saying I'm an asshole. Since I was young, I've always wanted to argue with people who held staunchly held views. If anyone dared express an opinion, and God forbid it was a wide-held or trite one, I saw it as my duty to vehemently disagree, which made me a lot of friends, as you can imagine. When I was at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, which is a bastion of liberal thought, I don't even know what a bastion is, but apparently it always goes with liberal thought. And if there was a bastion of liberal thought, it was the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And there I had the most conservative viewpoints. At least I expressed the most conservative viewpoints. I was a member of the College Republicans. But if you put me in with a group of actual conservatives, I make Rachel Maddow look like Sean Hannity. And now that I think about it, they actually do look a lot alike. So my few ring friends have been asking me for quite a while to put together a podcast of my common alcohol-fueled rants. I'm guessing they're asking for this because they want to replay my rants and relive the experience of someone shouting at them and not letting them talk. And more likely, they want the opportunity to pause and delete me. So my idea for the podcast is to have discussions with my friends or other guests that I can get to come on to the podcast, and to generally focus on topics that are deemed controversial or at the very least impolite. I'm not interested in defending topics that are widely held. Like, I don't want to defend the Beatles were a pretty good band. I would rather defend a topic like women shouldn't be allowed to touch musical instruments. I'm kidding, of course. Maybe. Anyway, I've hesitated to record a podcast because there's so many out there, and I didn't think that I had a voice or a viewpoint that anyone would be interested in. Of course, everyone tells me, you don't need to have listeners. You can record it for yourself. You can record it and no one needs else to listen to it. Now, while that form of verbal masturbation sounds so appealing, I actually was not willing to put in the work to do it, to have no one listen. But a few occurrences have occurred recently that made me change my mind. The first occurrence, I just made air quotes, but of course you can't see air quotes because I'm an audio, so I have to come up with an auditory air quote. I guess you say it like, occurrence. I guess that's so. So the first occurrence has actually been going on for quite a while, and it's the dismal state of discourse and discussion in our culture, and the dismissal of any alternative views in the media, whether it's the social media or the anti-social media, the unsocial, the mainstream, I don't know what you call it. But of course, this has been building for quite a while. I actually relieved myself of social media a long time ago because I was consistently getting in ugly fights on Facebook when I would disagree with someone's opinion. Apparently, this is how Facebook works. You can put up an opinion or a statement, and other people either agree with you or they ignore you. That's why there is a like button in Facebook and not a you're an asshat button. To be fair, I probably got into too many arguments, and my desire to be contrarian was completely unconstrained on the platform. there's probably no reason for someone to go in and post something like, today's going to be a great day, and have me remind them of all the social injustices in the world and the number of people who are likely to succumb to diabetes today. Also, note to self, probably do not need to make a compelling case against someone who just posts a picture with the caption, my grandfather was the most handsome and kind man the world's ever seen. So I have become used to the fact that people have their own echo chambers. And that was obviously completely exacerbated by the election of Trump. But what happened in 2020 and has been happening in 2020 is a silencing of discourse that I did not see coming. It started with the lockdown for the coronavirus. Now, I didn't observe any of the guidelines. I never wore a mask. In Florida, in fact, most of the people I know didn't see any point in social distancing or dressing like Bane from Batman. We treated the lockdown as it was an extended spring break. It was a lame spring break. We're all older now. But it was a spring break. However, you didn't tell anybody you knew that you were acting in this manner, especially if they came from the Northeast states. Right? You didn't, if you have a friend over in Pennsylvania or in New York or in, you know, Massachusetts, you didn't tell them that you weren't wearing a mask because they would treat you as if you were a mass murderer or worse, a Trump supporter. And meanwhile, CNN is maintaining an ever-present death count on the screen. It's making you aware, the end is nigh. And the media in the White House prop up these medical experts who tell you what the science tells you what to do. Did I get that right? See, I just did the auditory air quotes. I did science, medical expert. I think that's how, you know, I think I learned the auditory air quotes from Tucker Carlson. Or a 12-year-old trying to do sarcasm. Or I can't tell the difference between the two of them. Anyway, in a former life, I was a scientist. I know how dangerous it is to make science the expert. Scientists the experts and science the final decision-making tool. Especially when it comes to things like economic values or social values. It flies in the very face of the basis of science. Do you remember when you took your first horrible science course in high school or in college, and the first day of the course, they explained to you the different types of ways of gaining knowledge, and they told you that it used to be the case back in primitive times that we had learned knowledge by authority. Someone would come and tell us the truth, like a priest, because he had direct access to God, and that's how we knew things. But then, wonder of wonders, science came along, and it gave us this democratic process in which we decided truth by empirical data and perception, and anyone could do the experiments, and so it was a common base of knowledge that everyone shared, and that if you wanted to know something is the truth, you looked to the data and the results. Then 2020 comes along, and the shaman, Anthony Fauci, comes down from the mountain to declare, the Lord has spoken, 6 feet shall be the number. Also, stop coveting oxen so much. We closed our businesses, postponed our weddings, delayed our breast implant surgery, because some wee little man and some woman with a scarf addiction told us to. Damn, son. Okay, that's getting a little ranty. I wasn't going to rant in this first one. I was going to save the rants for future episodes, but apparently I have a problem. So let's move on. Meanwhile, and more annoying and alarming, there's been this recent cyclical outbreak of national reflectance on racial issues in the country, or whatever this is right now. We're acting like this doesn't happen every several years. But the suggestion is that we need to have discussions about race in this country, about racial issues. But there's no discussion to be had. As it's put out now, only 14% of the country has a right to speak. The black population. The rest of us are just to listen. Opinions to the contrary will get you fired or certainly get you Twitter shamed. I hate it when my Twitter is shamed. Meanwhile, white suburbanites are posting black rectangles on their social media because everyone's doing it. It's like a 1930s film where like the girl comes out and says, "Hey girls, it's called the Charlton Dance. Everyone's doing it. Let's go, girls." You know, it's a sign of the lack of discussion that one of the prominent features in the social media is a rectangle of nothingness. That's where our discussion is. It's actually, we shall not talk today. But what we really need is a discussion of some sort. And what's funny is these women, I'm just saying women because I'm making fun of these women in the suburbanites. It's men too. Most of the people I know are with these women who put them up and then have no understanding of why they're doing this. They have no idea what they're supporting. And if they did, if they had an idea of the proposal, if they became concrete, certainly they wouldn't support them. But it doesn't matter. Put up the rectangle. It's also a sign that debate discussion is gone when the major way you promote it is through three-word phrases. Actually, is it a three-word phrase still? If you put a hashtag and take all the spaces out, is that then one word? Is that three words? It doesn't matter. As long as I've been alive, we have never been less inclined to have a real discussion on race in this country. A real discussion. It's on all the time. It comes in all the time. It's all the news, but there's no discussion. I've been having some of these discussions. I've been involved in some of these discussions recently, but we discuss and hide in the dark corners so we're out of view of the telescreens. But it's time to bring these discussions into light. It's time to talk about these sort of issues, even if they're uncomfortable. And I might have to get rid of some of my normal tendency to be contentious in order that we can find some middle ground, but I wouldn't bet on it. This podcasting is hard. I'm tired of speaking. Let me make the last two occurrences brief. The second motivation for making this podcast is due to the fact that during this medically induced coma called the coronavirus lockdown, I've been taking advantage of seeing some of my favorite comedians, Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Louis C.K., Dave Chappelle. And I realized while watching this that I always respected these guys because they said the things that no one wanted to say or thought they couldn't say. Or they even made up new offenses of things that we didn't even know we didn't want to say. That inspired me. When I was in eighth grade, actually when I graduated from eighth grade, some of the classmates put together a story of 25 years in the future, if we had a reunion, what would everybody be doing? And in that story, they claimed I would be a world-famous stand-up comedian. And thinking back to that, obviously there was something within me that connected to that idea of being a stand-up comedian, and that makes me want to go forward with it. But I should point out that in that story, the writers said they didn't understand why I was famous because I wasn't funny. Finally, I recently read Ralph Waldo Emerson's essay, The American Scholar. In it, Emerson calls on scholars to fulfill their duty of expressing novel ideas, to have the bravery to create something new. And by the way, by scholars, Emerson wasn't referring to, you know, the ivory tower ninnies and nincompoops who come down and express, here's my ideas. Ouchie! In fact, it's quite the opposite. Emerson thought that all people. All right, Emerson said men, but I'm going to give him the benefit of becoming woke. All people have this ability within them. And that to be a real scholar, you can't live in a tower. You have to live life fully. You have to engage in discussions with many people. In fact, the very act of engaging in those discussions is part of the creative process. It gives the seeds with which you will create new ideas. Emerson inspired me. So here I go. I'm going to spread my verbal seed into the digital landscape. I look forward to having a bunch of good conversations with my friends. If there are any listeners, I really hope that they find something to be disturbed and butthurt about. So, pass the tequila. Out!